everybody. You are listening to WVEWLP 107.7 FM, Brattleboro Community Radio. So it is Wednesday, July 8th. It's a little past 9 p.m. You are listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm Ken.
And I'm Becca.
Did you see The Advocate this month?
I did not.
I didn't either until today. Guess who's on the cover of The Advocate this month?
We are. No, we're not.
I got so excited. I love the part where for a couple seconds I'm like, we are, but no, we're not. So
next month
we will be on the cover of The Advocate, following up this month's cover boy, Perez Hilton.
Oh, Lord.
So Perez Hilton is on the cover of The Advocate this month, and the story was written, the interview was done before he got into this big conflict with Will.i.am, and he called Will.i.am a faggot, and Will.i.am's manager.
So they didn't run into the room allegedly. And go, stop the presses?
Well, they added some parts on to the article. So here's some things that were in the article. Perez's activism, these are all quotes, Perez's activism, his earnest belief that one of his true callings is as a civil rights leader. So this is
immediately before he said, I have not and never have said I was.
Yeah. So he said that.
Nice.
And then he had these great comments. So for our civil rights leader, Perez Hilton, this is who is one of our leaders. This is a quote in the article from Perez Hilton. Do I really think Miley, and he's talking about Miley Cyrus, do I really think Miley Cyrus is a slut? No, but I'm going to call her one because it's fun. And there's an exclamation point there. I don't claim to be objective. I don't really believe everything I write. What I write is an exaggeration of what I believe. It's heightened reality. I write a lot of things just to piss people off or get a laugh. I'm not the New York Times. I'm Perez Hilton. So, for those of you who feel like, oh, Perez Hilton, he is a leader. And if maybe you're Perez Hilton and you're listening to our show and thinking, hey, that Perez Hilton, he's a leader. This is what our leader, one of our leaders, talks about. So I must say it is a great, great article. I apologize to the writer of this article because I don't have your name right in front of me. And he really questions Perez's intelligence and does he really believe even half the stuff he's saying. So fascinating, fascinating article there on the cover of The Advocate. Next month on the cover of The Advocate.
This show is so gay.
That's what I think, too. We have an amazing show for you tonight. We have Mary Jane Karger, who is on the National Board of GLSEN. She is a true, true leader. And so we are thrilled to talk to her. Now, it's a little bit different. She did not request songs. She requested artists.
Oh.
Which then gave me the liberty to choose the songs.
She gave you freedom.
I don't think she knew that she was doing that. So she will soon learn that and perhaps be mortified. But we're going to play some of Mary Jane Karger's music. You ready?
Ready.
Here we go.
Baby, you're not that kind.
love that song. I love that song.
Me too.
That is Elton John and Kiki D. And the only reason I know Kiki D is because she sings that song with Elton John. So I don't know Kiki D other than that.
Is that who our guest requested, or was it Elton John?
Mary Jane Carger, our guest tonight, requested Elton John. I took a little liberty and I threw in some Kiki D. It was kind of a two for the price of one kind of thing. All right, a lot to talk about. We got a lot of news to talk about.
Lots of news. Lots today because it's Wednesday and they wait for us.
Exactly. Although we're going to revisit last week a little bit because it's happened since our show. So this is our weekly segment where we keep tabs on how little President Obama is doing for our community. So what's going on right now is that this Friday, President Obama is going to be meeting for the first time with Pope Benedict the 16th in Italy. So he held a round table last Thursday with members of the Catholic media. And these were his quotes, President Obama's quotes to the Catholic media. "For the gay and lesbian community in this country, I think it's clear that they feel victimized in fairly powerful ways, and they're often hurt by not just certain teachings of the Catholic Church, but the Christian faith generally. And as a Christian, I'm constantly wrestling with my faith and my solicitude and regard and concern for gays and lesbians." Let's revisit that quote for a second. "And as a Christian, I'm constantly wrestling with my faith and my solicitude and regard and concern for gays and lesbians."
As a president, how do you feel?
It was a little, and the title of the article was Obama, quote, wrestling with faith and LGBT issues. And he really sets it up as two things that are in opposition to each other. It's not good. So then you turn over to David Mixner, and you should check out David Mixner's blog. Go ahead.
Well, on the other hand, I mean, I think a lot of people do struggle with what they perceive to be their Christian tradition and what they perceive to be the gay agenda.
Absolutely.
And I think that some people have found a way to mix the two, and a lot of people don't think that's possible. So
you just kind of don't want to hear it from the president, though.
That's what has me worried. Yeah. I mean, I think it's a good thing that he is thinking about it, and wrestling with your faith can be a really good thing.
Oh, absolutely. Then you turn over to David Mixner's blog, and you should check that out. I don't really have the website, but you can look for it on your own. And so David Mixner has really emerged. He's always been a huge LGBT rights advocate and a civil rights leader for the gay movement. But in the past couple months, he's come to the forefront because he's been so critical of President Obama. And this is a little inflammatory, Rebecca, so I'm preparing
you. I'm listening.
This is what he said on his blog, his latest entry. "As our elected officials search for new words, new institutions, and new arrangements to avoid giving us full equality, it is important for people to remember that right now all we have amounts to basically a system of separate but unequal. We have a set of laws at the national, state, and local levels that separate LGBT folks from the rest of America. Let's call it what it is, gay apartheid." And then he goes on to say, "Now, some of you might think that that is a loaded and unfair word. I've chosen the word very carefully and deliberately. Apartheid is when a group of citizens of a nation is by law separated from all other citizens and the rights, benefits, and protections all others are granted." Gay apartheid. That's definitely thrown a new word in the mix, and not one maybe I've been under a rock, but
that's
a big,
strong word. I have not heard other people use that word.
I haven't either. What do you think? That's a strong
word. We live in Vermont.
Yeah. Perspective.
And I've also lived in Massachusetts and New Jersey recently, and I would say that that's a very strong word.
Yeah.
I don't think I would go that far. If I was living in another state where maybe there would be more open hostility, maybe I would feel differently.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a rallying cry word, but that's
a big word.
Yeah. I'm kind of struck by it. I'm
send
a little,
us an email. This
send
show
us an
is
email.
So gay, or I'm online.
Screen name is This Show Is So Gay.
Exactly.
What do you think of the word apartheid being used? So tell Becca that, and we'll talk about it. In other news, this is some marriage updates. The good and the bad, or really the bad and the maybe
even
good.
Even worse?
Well, hopefully not. In Maine, a group attempting to overturn Maine's legalization of same-sex marriage that said that they now have the necessary signatures to get the issue on the ballot for the November election. Stand for Marriage Maine, that's the group's name, said in a statement today that it only took 4 weeks to gather 55,000 87 signatures, which was the number that they needed. The Secretary of State still must certify the signatures before a referendum is placed on the ballot. So it looks like in Maine, this issue is going to be going on the ballot. So
which we've talked about before, why voting for people's rights is problematic. But it's also...
So maybe it's not bad news. I don't know. Maybe this will be an opportunity for... I don't know.
It's the beginning of a new conversation. How about
that?
That
was good. Your eyes just lit up said that. That's. I feel like
I have endolphins.
Our show's tagline. You do. You have the endolphins. Because you were on that. I saw you on that.
I really want to make a flipper noise every time you use that word. I can't.
All right.
We need a squeaky toy or something.
We're going to run a contest until next Wednesday. Whoever can make the best flipper noise... and send us an MP3 of it to thisshowissogay@AOL.com. You will get a This Show Is So Gay magnet. So that's the bad
We've
news.
Stepped away from t-shirts. We're going
t-shirts
to magnets.
Are really expensive.
It's true.
So in Massachusetts, a scant 10 miles away from where we are sitting right now, just today, the Massachusetts Attorney General, Martha Coakley, filed a lawsuit against the federal government over the Defense of Marriage Act. She says that DOMA interferes with Massachusetts' ability to define and regulate marriage. The Commonwealth of Massachusetts has allowed same-sex marriage since 2004. She called DOMA discriminatory, said it undermines and complicates legal matters in Massachusetts because it often puts the state in conflict with the federal government. Now, in the comments for this particular article,
we got good comments.
I didn't type any of them up. I didn't cut and paste any of them, but they were pretty split. Some people were really excited that, oh, look, this is the challenge to DOMA that we've been waiting for. And a lot of other people were saying, oh, well, the timing is not right. It's just we're not there yet.
Challenging is not really DOMA. It's saying, well, it is that Defense of Marriage Act, mm-hmm. but it's not legalizing marriage nationwide, which might lead from starting that fight now. Mm-hmm. If they break down the Defense of Marriage Act, basically it would just return this to a state's issue.
Right.
So it would give states the power to define what marriage is in their state, which is actually what a lot of opponents of gay marriage also want.
Well, I was reading today that you almost can live here in New England and ignore Rhode Island and get caught up in same-sex marriage fever.
Rhode Island, is that a county in New Hampshire?
It's a little tiny county in New Hampshire. And so I was reading and I saw that West Virginia is looking to add a ban of same-sex marriage into their constitution, even though they already have it banned in a law. I think I might be getting this wrong, but they're worried that the courts are going to overturn it. So there are states, it's almost easy to forget that there are states that are actively still looking to ban same-sex marriage. This would be bad. And so the big question that I had when I was reading all these articles there and the comments in particular were all the comments that said, it's just not the right time. It's not the right time. I'm not sure what the right time looks like. I'm not sure what and you see that a lot. There were a lot of articles a few years ago about Lambda Legal, that Lambda Legal was turning away court cases because they want to win them, and they had determined that the timing wasn't right.
Well, because sometimes not doing anything is better than losing.
I don't know.
Because there's a legal precedent then. So
yeah.
That's a legal argument. I mean, but for us to go out and raise a ruckus.
Let's raise a ruckus.
We're not starting legal precedents, so we can just raise a ruckus.
I'm all for it.
Go ahead, open your big mouth. But but if you get us in trouble with the FCC, I renounce all connection to you.
We're playing some music. Enjoy, folks.
Stars shining bright above you, night breezes seem to whisper, I love you. Birds singing in the sycamore tree, dream a little dream of me.
Say nighty night and kiss me, just hold me tight and tell me you miss me. can be. Dream a little dream of me.
Stars fading, but I linger on, dear. Still craving your kiss. I'm longing to linger till dawn, dear. Just saying this.
Sweet dreams till sunbeams find you. Sweet dreams that leave all worries behind you.
But in your dreams, whatever they be,
dream a little dream of me.
Pretty song.
It is a pretty song.
It's a pretty song. All right, it's time
but
to welcome.
But Ken's patience wore out.
It's time to welcome a guest. Guest, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, fantastic.
Welcome.
Let's introduce you. Mary Jane Carger is a retired social worker with 31 years of experience in the Carmel Central School District in Paterson, New York. Her years of work at the elementary and high school levels, counseling regular and special education students and their parents, serving on a school board, advising community groups, chairing social services, prepared her well to champion LGBT youth and address the concerns of parents. But it is her work with GLSEN, the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network, which is her favorite organization, has just been incredible. She joined GLSEN's Hudson Valley chapter in 1997, became the co-chair in 1998, and has served as a member of GLSEN's National Board of Directors since 2003. In the past few months, she has been honored as GLSEN's Educator of the Year at the 6th Annual Respect Awards, and just the other day received the National Education Association's Virginia, is it Uribe? Uribe, sorry, thank you. Virginia Uribe Award for Creative Leadership in Human Rights. And in what I can only imagine is her greatest award yet, we welcome Mary Jane Carger to this show, So Gay. How are you, Mary Jane?
What a nice introduction. Thank you.
Welcome. Yes. So I have to clarify, 31 years of experience in elementary, middle, and high school. Surely that included your years in elementary, middle school, and high school.
That's what we assume.
At me.
I'm counting those.
I've met you. I say it includes those. Now, Mary Jane, I fear that you do not know what the word retired means.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I always used to tease when I was working that I had my day job and my night job because GLSEN has been my night job, you know, really since 97. And never begrudgingly, I'm so really energized by this organization and its mission to make our kindergarten through 12th grade schools safe for everyone, regardless of sexual orientation or gender identity and expression. I mean, that's what we're all about. And it's nationwide. We have chapters throughout the country. But, you know, we really are trying actually right now to get a federal bill passed so that we know that we can, you know, be more effective because state by state is painful. I think there's 12 states right now that have protection against harassment based on sexual orientation and some with gender identity and expression, but not
right.
All. So, you know, it's a big job, and if we could possibly be influential than getting a federal bill passed. It would be amazing.
So the federal bill that we're looking at right now, so that's this is the one that they're working on right this second on Capitol Hill,
right.
Is it not? So this was Representative Elliot Engel urges support of bullying prevention legislation. Congressman Engel has co-sponsored legislation designed to prevent bullying and keeps children safe in school. And the name of the act is the Safe Schools Improvement Act. And it would require schools receiving federal, safe, and drug-free schools funding to collect data regarding bullying and harassment incidents.
You know, and the other thing that's mm-hmm. important that it also will do is it is going to require that all schools have a policy, a district-wide policy, that enumerates the groups. Because what we know is when you just have a general policy that just says we don't allow bullying or harassment
right.
to our population, it's not effective. You really have to say against sexual orientation and gender identity and expression for it to really have teeth in it. And our research, the GLSEN has this amazing research team,
mm-hmm.
and the statistics that they've had shows that really makes a difference in schools. So
now
the other piece of this Improvement Act, the Safe Schools Improvement, which is H.R. 2262. If anybody wants to call in and talk to their congressman about, please try to pass this bill. It's so important.
Well, so tell us. So take the temperature for us. Of course, you know, we're a gay show in gay Vermont.
And of course, every opinion that's being expressed right now is not the opinion necessarily of WBEW.
Of our station, yes, that is true. We have to put that out there, Mary Jane, before we get
sorry.
Fired from our...
Well, you know what? And I like that, if I can just say one
yeah.
thing. You know, because, yes, this is a gay show, and my advocacy is for gay youth. But the truth is, this particular bill, every parent that has a child, every grandparent, I can speak for myself right now, although my granddaughter's only one, but anybody that has grandchildren in the public schools or about to enter the schools should be encouraged and trying to see that this bill gets passed, because it's not just about the gay kids
Absolutely.
That need protection. An example, it was the woman that we had from GLSEN come and speak today to a subcommittee, and that was Sir Diener Walker.
Yes, I just read that.
Yeah, this mother of this poor 11-year-old child, Carl Walker Hoover, who died of suicide and not identified as a gay child, but because he was harassed so much in school and called gay, he really couldn't handle it anymore, and he took his own life. And this is a child who was 11 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, it's tragic. And I know, honestly, from working the last 8 years of my career, we're in an elementary school. And, you know, one of the biggest disses that any child can give another child, especially boy to boy, of course, is to say that you're gay.
Right.
And it starts, I mean, I had second graders in my office Jeez. That I had to talk
second
to about
grade?
That.
Second grade?
I mean, that was name calling, and it was bullying, and it starts young. And kids that our statistics generally that we know is 10% of the population in schools or in our communities are probably gay, and that's a rounded off number. But in the schools, if we say 10% of your population is gay, and then we say 5% are presumed gay or at least get harassed about being gay, that's 15%
yeah.
of your population. If you start looking at your classroom and the numbers that means out of 30 children, it's pretty a pretty decent number of children that you are not protecting. So that's the reason why I think everybody should really consider this an important piece of legislation that needs to be passed for all children.
Well, so that's actually my question. I think Becca and I, it's hard sometimes to read these stories and hear about legislation because, again, we're this gay show in gay Vermont, and I read this and say, well, of course that's going to pass. That's just so clear of why that should pass, and who in their right mind is going to argue against it? But I gather that that's a little naive of us.
Right. Well, the thing is, see, this is what's always been hard. I know, even when I come to thinking back, Westchester County had a human rights commission that it wanted to put together because the state was slow in responding to some of the complaints that people had. And so the county decided to put a human rights commission together, and that was to protect, and they enumerated all the groups
yeah.
that they wanted to protect. And, of course, one was sexual orientation. you know what? Nobody had a problem with that commission until it got to sexual orientation. And then you had groups of people coming in and, you know, refusing to have that piece included. Fortunately, Westchester was enlightened enough, and the, their board was of legislators, to pass it.
Right.
And there certainly were lots of people that spoke up on behalf of it. But again, that seems to, it's complicated because on the one hand, it needs to be enumerated, and the gay community is one of the most harassed, and certainly transgender even more so,
mm-hmm.
parts of the communities. But it's also the part that there's the whole society or the whole community is not always ready to embrace. But we are moving forward. I definitely feel the movement, you know, in the right direction to understanding that these are civil rights, these are human rights, and we have to protect everyone.
I will say, I think it was one of my most eye-opening experiences just being involved with the LGBT community, and was when I was on the Westchester LGBT Advisory Board, and I honestly can't remember the name of the town, but there was a town that was one of the first towns in the country to give domestic partner benefits to police officers, and then I think became the first town they were having a hearing to take them away. It was either police officer or firefighters.
Was that Chester? I think it was Chester.
Yes, it was. So we went to this meeting, the advisory board, and just a ton of other people. And this town is maybe 10 miles outside of New York City. Mm-hmm. And it was so eye-opening because I figured, oh, well, everyone's going to be against this because it was taking benefits away. And the folks just lined up. And I will never forget one gentleman saying, well, if you give domestic partner benefits to same-sex couples, then I want it for me and my dog. And I just sat there and said, okay, this is good. This is good to remind me that even 10 miles outside of New York City in Westchester, which is an unbelievable place to be gay, and unbelievably supportive with this legislation, it was actually a really... It was negative, but it was a great reminder that, oh, that's right, we actually do have to keep being vigilant.
Yeah, well, there are pockets in the county as there are. Well, I worked up in Putnam County, which was even more conservative,
right.
And you know, and it still is. But the trends are always toward a more positive movement, and it always is interesting to me because even as unembracing as my district was sometimes, as I spoke to people professionally in my office and mentioned, because we have a gay son, so there's a photo on my desk, and people saw it or whatever. People right away would say, oh, yeah, well, I have a gay uncle, or I have
right.
my brother's gay, or my sister's lesbian, or whatever. You know, I mean, there's, you know, and then we don't talk about it much in school, and that's the bizarre part about it. The invisibility in the schools is, you know, when it's so visible on the movie screen, on television, you know, in music, it's out there so visibly, and then these schools are so conservative and so cautious and scared. A lot of principals are scared, you know, of a few voices that will be negative,
right.
and not understanding the impact. What we know at GLSEN, for example, is three things that really make a difference for a safer school is if you have out or supportive staff, if you have a district-wide policy, not a building policy, but a district-wide policy against harassment that enumerates sexual orientation, gender identity, and expression. Those two things are in there and says we will not allow or not accept harassment based on those two. That is another safety factor. And the third factor that becomes a safety factor for schools are gay-straight alliances.
Right.
These GSAs, they call them. And these are amazing groups. Actually, GLSEN was the group that started it first. Kevin Jennings, who was the founder of GLSEN,
mm-hmm.
had a straight girl come up to him after class one day and said, you know what, I'm getting harassed a lot about being a lesbian because I have two lesbian moms, and I think we should do something about this in school. And he said, well, okay, what do you want to do? Well, we should start a group. And he said, what do you think we should call it? And that's when she said, well, you're gay and I'm straight. Why don't we call it the Gay Straight Alliance?
There you go.
And that's how it was born. And, you know, they are so powerful. The presence of them in schools makes a difference. And for the audience that you have out there, I want them to understand that when they hear that their schools have Gay Straight Alliances, they should embrace them and support them, and not be fearful, because sometimes they're misconstrued as only gay organizations, or that they somehow are only talking about sex
right.
In this group after school. It's an extracurricular program. That is so untrue. I know the GSAs that I know about, they're there in their school to try to make it a safer, healthier place for all children to thrive.
Can we talk about one of their initiatives? I want to talk about one of their initiatives. And don't you promise you won't get mad at me, Mary Jane?
No, I won't promise.
Okay.
But what?
The Day of Silence.
I won't promise.
Yes.
Now, the Day of Silence is an amazing initiative, and I love initiatives that are done all across the country. But every year around the Day of Silence, I have this one part of me, and we talked about it on the show. I think our show was actually on the Day of Silence, where I have this little bit of resistance where I don't want it to be a Day of Silence, where I feel like, oh, well, the LGBT kids and their allies are silent the whole year. I want this to be a day of shouting.
I love that you said that. Yeah, I can't get mad at that at all, because here's what happens. I was watching the emails that were coming in. We have like a listserv, a glisten of people that are participating. And what's happened is in different schools that have had the GSAs and had Day of Silence, let's say maybe 6 years running or something.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these schools are saying, you know what, we need also a day of education.
Yeah.
And a number of these schools that are already had a history are now adding this a day of education, or however they term it, so that they are actually helping to educate, you know, their school about what it really means. What is the great harm of
right.
being gay in this community? You know, when you're invisible in the curriculum, when you are harassed and you can't tell anybody because you're afraid if your parents would find out, they might think you're gay, and if you are, that would be horrible, and if you're not, it might be horrible. And they feel that they don't get the support of staff. When you question staff and principals, they have a much lower percentage rate of how they feel kids are being harassed based on anti-gay language or you know, anything else, physical harassment, than the students that actually get this harassment experience. So, you know, we know that there's such a silence there. But yeah, that's a great thing, and I wish more schools could do it. I think first you've got to get yourself off the ground with just a day of silence.
Right.
Right, but it sounds like such a change in climate that's now something that schools would be putting forward, that this shouldn't be silent anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's even possible. I mean, the Day of Silence was silent because there wasn't an opportunity to have those conversations.
That's right.
So
that's right.
It's great.
A forward motion again.
Well, but you also have to understand that Ken's opposed to silence in all of its forms.
I have a radio show. I co-host a radio show, of course I am. Now, speaking of our radio show, on the very first show that we had back in October of 2008, the very first topic we talked about was the, and you know, for the life of me.
And don't go for the archives, because I don't think it exists.
Yeah, it's the hidden show. But we talked about the initiative in Chicago to create an LGBT and ally high school, and all the controversy that created of, it was all in the comments section, of course, my favorite part of any article, of people saying, oh, this is great, I totally would have gone to this high school, and I'm an ally, or I'm gay, and but then all the comments that came up and the resistance that came up of folks saying, well, but if you take all the supportive people out of the mainstream high schools and put them in a separate high school, what does that do for the rest of the high schools? What do you think about some, I mean, they're definitely growing in number. There are a lot of proposals out there. What do you think, Mary Jane, of the proliferation of LGBT and ally-friendly high schools?
Well, that's a really hard question.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I think of Harvey Milk here in New York City,
right.
That school. I mean, those children that are in that school are there as a lifesaver. It's probably, instead of committing suicide.
Indeed.
I mean, because the harassment is so relentless. And if they need and want to get an education, this is the place that they're going to have it. So I would never say no to students that need that.
Mm-hmm.
But it rips me apart that we can't provide in our public schools that kind of safe environment. I hope that we don't have to have them growing. I think it's wrong. I think it's, you know, it's unnecessary if we can all figure out that the gay community, these children or those that are presumed to be gay or transgender, are human beings and need equal respect and protection in our schools. I really prefer not to see them, but right. I totally understand why they need to be there, and I would support them, because I know too many students at GLSEN who've talked about how hideous their experiences have been. I mean, these are resilient youth that come through our program as student organizers and do amazing things. I think the one thing that we find, too, is usually the students that are out and proud about it don't get harassed as much in their schools as the students that aren't out,
right.
You know, and are just thought to be gay. Those are the ones that are going to really get it. And I'm not trying to say everybody come out, because there's lots of reasons and it's a process for people. But those that can be out tend to thrive in their school.
So this is our favorite part of the show. Now, this is, as I mentioned before Mary Jane came on, this is a little bit different than we normally do, because normally our guests say, these are the songs we want. Now, Mary Jane went in a different direction and said, these are three artists that I like. Mm. So Mary Jane, and we'll keep it brief for you, because we know you have to get back to retirement, and I'm putting that in air quotes.
To go to GLSEN camp from tomorrow till Sunday, so I have to pass.
Oh my god, yeah. Oh yeah, Mary Jane, seriously, we're going to have to talk about retirement at some point. but so we're going to do this quick. So what we ask our guests to do, Mary Jane, is to tell us, now normally it's what the songs say about them, but we're going to let you do the artist. So we're going to talk about the musical artist that you selected, mm-hmm. and what they say about you, Mary Jane Carger.
Hmm.
I'll give you a second. All right, here we go. That was it. That was your second.
Oh.
So what does choosing a song by Elton John say about you?
Well, you know, I have to say, I've been a fan of his forever, since he started, and he's from my age group, my decade, so I just love him, and also our gay son has become very friendly with him.
Oh.
So I feel like I'm part of an inner circle.
Wow.
I'm not really, but I feel that way. So so that's part of, I think, also why the charm of Elton. But I just love his vitality, his creativeness. I think he grows all the time. And, you know, if that could say a little bit about me. And I met him, and he even dedicated a song to my husband and I at one of his concerts. He said we were the best parents.
Oh my.
Anybody could have. I mean, how can you not love that
man? Okay, if it turns out that you know all of these artists, we're going to start broadcasting out of your house. And I've been to your house, so
no,
I know how to get too. There. We will broadcast. And what do you know Katie Lang as well?
No, I wish.
Okay.
No, but
so
I just...
what about Katie Lang?
You know, to me, her voice is like silk. It's so rich and beautiful. You know, I also... I'm walking right now. Michael, help me from Wham.
George Michael.
Don't
Sorry.
Look at me.
I helped.
His voice does that too to me. I just think those two voices are gorgeous, and I just felt a little equal time for a woman there. So, but honestly, I love her voice. I just love her voice. So,
and then
she just sets the mood beautifully.
As do you. See, look how this says things about you. Now, the one that if you gave me money, there's no way I could have predicted that you would have said for your third artist, the Scissor Sisters.
Of course you wouldn't have. That's what I like about it.
Good.
She wanted to surprise you, Kat.
I wanted to surprise you because, yeah, like I also have a GLSEN, a car that's a hot convertible that has
wow.
GLSEN HD on the back. You know, I mean, like that's a part of things that when people look at me and know me, they might not think that. I love those kind of surprises. And the Scissor Sisters, I love them. It turns out that actually one of the boys in the group, I'm going to forget what his stage name is a Westchester boy.
Oh.
And his mother is, you know, lives here, and I met her at PFLAG. And we actually marched in a gay pride. He and Dave and myself and his mom marched in a gay pride together. So I love that about him. And then my son, Dave, also got to know very well the two leads from Scissor Sisters. So I love their music. Elton supports them, and they're just fun and a little out there, but I just love their music.
All I'm picturing right now is Mary Jane Carger at Studio 54 with Elton John. I'm just saying. I don't know if it happened, but in my happy place it did. And tell us really quickly.
Such a rock star.
It's a rock star. Just tell us really quickly, because I know it just happened the other day. What an amazing award from the National Education Association.
Yeah.
What was that experience like for you?
Oh, my goodness. Tom and I went out together, my husband and I went out together to San Diego, and there were 2,400 people in
the audience
at that dinner. Black tie. People like, I think it's Greg Mortensen, the guy who wrote Three Cups of Tea.
Yes.
He was one of the honorees, and he's up for a Nobel Peace Prize. I'm going like, what am I doing here? it was quite an impressive group of, there were 13 of us that were honored. And, I got such a warm response from that audience, and it was really beautiful. I was very, what was sweet was like the next day, Tom and I were having breakfast out, on the sidewalk at some little restaurant, and, somebody came up to me and said, oh, you spoke last night. I just want to tell you, you really inspired me.
Oh, my gosh.
Or, something like that. I'm going like, wow, this is really cool.
Oh.
So my little video will be up on NEA's website probably, who knows when, another month or so. But they actually had people come to New York to film a three-minute video about me, having people talk about me and this and that. And then I had a one-minute thank you to presentation. So it was... and for the NEA, it really is a big deal because
yeah.
I am, even though I'm a school social worker, not a teacher, I belong to that union, and it's
gosh,
it's wonderful for them embrace my work and what I. Who I represent.
How could they not? Mary Jane Carger, I have to tell you, I've been shaking my head in disbelief the whole time, just because all I'm thinking is we talk week in and week out about, what's a leader and who's the community's leader, and I truly believe these are the examples of leadership that we really want to put out there for our listeners, that we want to put out there for the entire community, gay and straight, everybody who's looking to promote equal rights. I think you're incredible.
And she responded so quickly to our cry for help.
Oh my gosh!
Last
yes.
minute.
Oh, I love
guest
that
cancellation.
I love that you thought of me, Ken. I thought that was wonderful. And I want to say to the audience, if any of you have that urge for advocacy for LGBT youth, please go to GLSEN, GLSEN.org.
Yes.
And you can start a chapter with some other people in your area. We can support you on grassroots work. There's so much that, we need help, and we look for volunteers, and you might check on the chapters, and there might even be one near you, because we have over 30-some chapters in the country. So, I would encourage people to certainly do that, or they can email me. They can do the mjkarger@gmail.com. Anything I can do to help with youth or parents who are struggling with the child that's just come out, they should be going to PFLAG, parents, family,
absolutely.
And friends of lesbians and gays. It's a great support program that's throughout the country. But, if people have any questions or whatever, I'm here to speak to whomever.
Well, you are failing so miserably at retirement, and we are so thankful that you are failing so miserably at retirement.
We're going to give you the imaginary. This show is so gay. Failure at retirement award.
It's just great.
We need another award.
Well, we're so grateful for all of the work that you're doing, and we say keep it up.
Well, thank you. I will. Nobody can stop me.
Good. Well, certainly not retirement, so this is good. This
definitely is good. Not.
Mary Jane Carger, an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. We wish you all the best.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for being on. All the best, Mary Jane.
Thank you. Good night now.
Have a good night.
Bye. Those are the Scissor Sisters, as requested by tonight's just incredible, incredible guest, Mary Jane Karger. I feel like sometimes I'm such a victim of pop culture, which I think is something you've never said. But I think sometimes I'm such a victim of pop culture. And so we have these guests that I never would have dreamed of talking to. You know, we have these musicians and we have these actors and these comics. And oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm talking to them. And Mary Jane Karger, someone we've tabled together, you know, we've sat at tables together at conferences, and it just, it really strikes me. Oh my gosh. These
you
are the leaders.
Cool people.
And, well, no,
first
no,
of all,
not. It's, I'm more saying,
I can't keep up with the name dropping that's happening tonight. I just can't.
it's just
I know
incredible.
Ken Schneck.
There, that's well in this studio from 9 to 10 on Wednesday nights. That's
that
huge.
Means something.
One more story that I want to put out there, cause it is by far my favorite story of the week. And it kind of goes with the theme of the end of last week's show where we talked about comic books. Fighting crime, Rebecca, is just part of the job description for superheroes. In a colorful marketing campaign, a new group of super characters is promoting awareness of Colorado laws protecting civil rights and equality. Do you have problems adopting a partner's children? Cape Clad the Inspirer comes to the rescue.
Cape Clad the Inspirer?
Yep. Victimized by hate crimes, mild manner, Umberto, hate eraser, sheds his everyday cowboy garb to advocate as the protector. The campaign was launched last week by the GLBT Community Center of Colorado, which is an advocacy group. The marketing campaign, and I love this about it. This is so important. The marketing campaign is designed to educate everyone, but initially it will focus on building awareness of rights among same-sex, bisexual, and transgender communities. And it's a public education campaign for the LGBT community. So you must check this out. It is so great. I love just using kind of pop art and really focusing in on, oh, we should probably educate our own community before we educate others. So you should go to this. It's the rights5.com. So rights5.com. And you can see the profiles of all the different superheroes. That are.
Can we be superheroes?
I wish we could.
There was that comic book story last week, too.
There was. Well, so, oh, and I have the Rights Five. So these are the Rights Five. There's the Enlightener, who protects against employment discrimination based on sexual orientation. There's the Clarifier.
The
Clarifier, who guards against discriminatory practices in real estate, lending, and public accommodations such as hotels and restaurants.
Also makes really tasty butter.
Very much so. The Inspirer, who facilitates understanding of a law, giving same-sex partners and unmarried couples legal rights. The Protector, who monitors hate crimes based on race, color, religion, ancestry, national orientation, blah, 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 and sexual orientation. Not that the other categories, I just wanted to get to the end, not that they weren't important. And finally, there's the Unifier, who advocates for a law allowing unmarried couples to enter into designated beneficiary agreements for employment benefits and medical directives. That's awesome. What's your superhero name?
I don't know.
Come on.
I don't know. I'm the instant messenger.
That was really good.
Dun, dun, dun.
What am I?
The talker. The
wait, that's not
terrific
a super
talker.
The terrific.
I don't know, man.
All right. So if someone has superhero names for us, and if you have the capability of designing capes for us, we will wear them to the show every single week. I will wear mine to the show every
single week. There you go.
I will wear mine to the show every single week. Folks, it is an absolute pleasure to be broadcasting to you from WVEWLP 107.7 FM. Please, please get in touch with us. Stroll on over to thisshowissogay.com. Send us an email at thisshowissogay@AOL.com. Next week, on next week's show, we have Tyler Engel, who's a soloist with New York City Ballet. So that is going to be incredibly exciting. And I don't know. I think that's pretty much it for our show this week. Huge thanks to Mary Jane. Oh, look at you. You got the dolphin noise. Go do it again. Do it again.
I'm sorry. I've got these in dolphins.
Those
from
are in dolphins. That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
That was one of our listeners submitted
and
that. By
on
the way.
That note, when you are out there dolphin watching, remember, why be gay when you can be so gay?
Yesterday. last time your voice lacked home, but I felt it with my own. Now my debt is begging to be paid. And I'm the latter by your choice. The worst, but if I'm your habits, you're my curse.